Turning to that portion in Genesis 24 that we read together, let's bow together just in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have of having God's precious word before us this morning. We thank Thee for the liberty that we have of being able to take God's word and read it and preach the word of the living God. And we ask Thee to bless those in other countries, many today who are in prison, that because they've read the Bible publicly or preached the word of God. Bless our brothers and sisters throughout the world that are being persecuted, and we pray that Thou wilt touch them and bless them and help them. We turn now to Thy precious word. We ask Thee to write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on seeking a good wife. There's nothing to do with Valentine's Day that's just passed, because, of course, Valentine was a Roman Catholic priest, and he was a man who was harassed and eventually martyred because he married people in secret, because the Roman emperor at the time, he denied the men the privilege of marrying, because he said they made better soldiers if they had no wife or family and to look after. And he denied it, but Valentine, of course, he married them in secret, and then he was martyred for it. But we're turning to this portion of God's word, because I believe it teaches us many, many lessons that we can learn from a family point of view. The marriage of Isaac and Rebecca. And we have before us a wonderful story of Abraham seeking a wife for his son Isaac. Now today, very few young men would want their father to find and choose a wife for them. It's not the done thing. Times and customs have changed from the life and times of Abraham. But Abraham was a godly father. And as we learn, Abraham had only the will of God in view as he considered this great matter. And yet today, all who contemplate marriage should seek the will of God regarding their life partner. Christians should always be seeking God's will for every aspect of their lives, and especially even in choosing a husband or a wife. Not their choice, but God's choice. And it is difficult for parents as their son or daughter chooses a wife or a husband. Their choice can cause concern, and in some cases, even heartache. Many marry without ever seeking God's approval or seeking His will for their life. Some live to regret the step that they have taken. They do not heed the voice of God nor the advice of the parents, and they find themselves in a most unhappy situation. Parents, of course, should always look for a Christ-like life in their daughter-in-law or son-in-law, not the size of his bank account or how many cars he has, but they should be looking for his Christian life and what the attributes are. And the first criteria for the saved young person is to find out by word and deed, are they sure that the other person is converted, that they are saved by God's grace, by observing their everyday walk and their talk. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? The rules for young Christian people marrying is very simple. They marry in the Lord. They do not marry the unsaved. A young man or a young woman that is seeking a partner for life must, if they're saved by God's grace, look for someone of like precious faith. Now this, of course, is an age of immorality in which we live. And even amongst Christians today, there is this immorality. A young man or a young woman who's seeking a partner in life and takes someone out, and if that person seeks sex before marriage, they should be avoided like the plague. And I want to repeat that because it is so important. A young man or a woman who seeks sex before marriage should be avoided like the plague. There's a question mark over their conversion. Sexual purity is all important before marriage and during marriage. And we need to have that made very, very plain in this day and age in which we live. But we want this morning to look at the four lives in this chapter and their walk before God. We have a godly family and how they acted in their daily life and how Abraham had sent forth his servant to seek a good wife for Isaac, his son. And as we look at them, we see their walk and we see their obedience before God. Living before the world. Their life was a going on with God. The new birth is only the beginning when we get into Christ. But our walk with God is all important day by day before the world and before our family. And first of all, we see Abraham's concern. In verse 3 he says, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." Abraham, now an old man, yet he loved God. Right to the very end, he still sought to obey God. Old age had not diminished the confidence that he had in his God. And you know, the longer he served God, the more he loved him. He remembered God's promise. In Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." God had fulfilled his promise thus far. Isaac had been born to Sarah in old age. God had tested Abraham with many trials. Chapter 19 of Genesis, we read of the sin of Lot going to dwell in Sodom, a city of sin, and the escape for him from the judgment of God that came upon the Sodomites in Sodom and Gomorrah when they were burnt with fire. In chapter 21, he had the heartbreak of having to cast out Hagar and Ishmael out from about his tents. In chapter 22, the call of God to offer up Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. And what a test of faith that must have been. When God said, "Take thy son, thine only son, and put him upon an altar," and he had the knife raised in obedience to God. What a test of a man's faith. The closer you walk with God, the sweeter the fellowship. And yet God will test us along the way. Through these and many more trials, God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. And as he looked back on his long life, how he must have praised God for his leading and guiding in all things. Faith in God sustained Abraham. He remembered the judgment of God on Cana. You see, Noah cursed Cana, Ham's son, for his father's sin. In Genesis 9:25, and he said, "Cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And Abram knew the sin and idolatry of the Canaanites. Hence he did not want his son Isaac to marry a woman whose nation was under the curse of God. It was strictly forbidden. God said, "When you go into the land, you shall not marry." And what did they do? The children of Israel, when we read on the history of what they did, they broke God's commandment and God's law. But here, Abraham knew that they were cursed and it was strictly forbidden by God. And now we can understand his concern for Isaac. And you know, as parents, we must always be concerned about the spiritual welfare of our family. It is our responsibility, especially the father's responsibility as head of the family. In Deuteronomy 6:7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And we have a duty as parents to teach our children by word, but also by our walk. There is no good in teaching children the law of God and then us as parents breaking God's law before them. Always, while they are young, they need to be taught by word and example. Oh yes, we need to talk the talk, but we also need to walk the walk. Never let the children dictate as regards the standards taught in the Scriptures. Always, while they are young, teach by word and by example. Both are important. Modern day psychology would dictate to allow the child freedom to do their own thing. And you see what that has caused over the years, the disaster that it has brought to society in which we live. There was a psychologist and a psychiatrist in the mail maybe a year ago, and they said that things would have to change, and they would have to go back to where the parents taught the children right from wrong and brought discipline back to the home. Because when the children, and these were well-educated children they were talking about, when they came to 10 and 12 years of age, they were being referred to them with psychiatric and psychological problems because they couldn't cope with being told, "You cannot have," or "You cannot do this," because they expected to be able to do their own thing. And they said that they would have to go back to the old ways. Now, that's a psychiatrist and a psychologist, but of course they were only teaching what the Bible has already taught. And so we see Abraham's concern. But then we see the servant's consecration in verse 27. Because here we have this servant, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth, I being in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And now we come to this servant of Abraham, sent to carry out a task for his master. And we see, first of all, he was dedicated to his master. So much respect and trust was this man that he was in charge of all the possessions of Abraham. Abraham now required a man whom he could trust to do his will without question. He sent for this dedicated servant, and they instructed him to go to Nahor, to his homeland, and bring back a wife for Isaac. Verse 4, "But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son." Not only was he dedicated to his master, but he was dedicated to his master's God. Because in verse 12 he said, "O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abram." Here was one who knew that he could not fulfill his master's wishes without the help of God. And before he sought the help of man, he sought the help of God in prayer. He asked God for a sign or confirmation that he would know the woman that God had for Isaac. He did not choose the woman of his own choice, although he was sent to bring back a woman. He wanted God's choice, and it was so important. What dedication to God and to Abram. And he put out a fleece. You remember Gideon put out a fleece in Judges 6 and 37. Many of God's people put out fleeces down through the years. And he put out a fleece, and in verse 13 he said, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, He was beseeching God, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast anointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. You know, prayer was so important to this servant of God. Prayer is so important in every aspect of our lives as God's children. And prayer is so important for anyone seeking a wife or a husband, that they pray for God's will to be done. And God answered his prayer and led him. Hence, when he found Rebekah, he could say, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the choice of my master's brethren. God led him. God directed him in the right pathway. And today we need men and women, young people who are in the way, walking the path of obedience to God, not according to the dictates of our own conscience or our own thinking, but according to the Word of God. And it starts with prayer. And it finishes with a willingness to allow God to control our lives at every avenue of our walk with God. Not like the fellow that a few years ago, and he was looking for a woman, and he was so spiritual, he says, you know, I'm praying for a woman. And he started to pray, and he says, Lord, send me a wife, but send me Mary. He had already the choice made, but he wanted God just to confirm it. But what a difference is here, this man started out with prayer, and he got the answer straight from God. Starts with prayer. Seeking the will of God becomes a habit, or should become a habit, and bring us closer day by day in fellowship with the Lord. Have you ever prayed for guidance? And through your reading of the Scripture, God confirmed his will, giving you the assurance of the way forward. How rewarding it is to know that we are right in the center of his will. Today many Christians live unto themselves saying, I have a right. You know, you and I as Christians have no rights, except it's in accordance with the will and law of God. That's where our rights start. According to this book, and outside it, we don't have any rights as a Christian. God governs the daily life of a Christian, and that life leads us on the path homeward to heaven. Oh, what a tremendous thing when we live close to the Lord and seek his will for our lives. Abraham's concern, the servant's consecration, but then we have Rebekah's consent. In the verse 58, what lovely words we have here. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Here was a young woman suddenly confronted by this old servant of Abraham. And immediately he began to tell her and to tell her family that the God of Abraham had sent and guided him to their home, and that God wanted Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. Surely in Rebekah's heart she must have wondered what was happening to her. You know, we have to live in a world of reality. Rebekah was just an ordinary girl like any other girl in the church this morning. Yesterday, her marriage would have been to a herdsman. And now today, the day that we're talking about here, marriage was proposed to a young man, Isaac, heir to a vast inheritance from his father Abraham. She had never seen Isaac. And she had to depend on God's will and the words of the servant of Abraham. And she had to step out in faith. Yes, she had the tokens, the jewels, and the earrings. But she didn't see Isaac. And she knew nothing about him till a few hours earlier. And yet God's plan for that young woman came together. Remember a wee man over in Cornwall, he's gone home to glory now. And having did a mission over there one time, and he used to stop at the end of the road when we were going out in the car, and he would lift up and pray. And then maybe along the road he'd say, "Ronnie, you know, I love it when I see God's plan coming together." And you know, that's what happened here. God's plan and God's purpose came together. Why? Because Abraham had a concern. Because the servant was consecrated unto God. And they followed God's plan. And they prayed. And now we see God's plan coming together. Rebecca's consent. Obedience to the call and will of God for her life. I will go. How about you today? Has God spoken to you regarding some task that he requires you to do? Are you willing to go and do his will? Perhaps God wants you and is calling you to go to the mission field, to go to college, to train to be a minister, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a tract distributor, to be a door-to-door witness. Or first, for all of us, request is that we live a holy life, not conformed to this world or the pleasures of the world. Rebecca was obedient to the call. Are you willing to allow God to control your life from this day forward? To give up your own ambitions in life and be led by the Lord? Seek God's will for your life. Be willing to do what God requires. Every day seek God in prayer for help to do his will. And be like Rebecca and simply say, "I will go." What a change in your life, in your family, in your church, in your workplace, if you went through with God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. And you've listened to the gospel for years and you know that you need to be saved. You know that you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior. But you have never been willing to say, "I will go with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ." I wonder this morning, will God speak to your heart and open your heart? Will the call of God come to you this morning? And will your answer be, "Yes, I will go with this man, Christ Jesus. I will trust him as my Savior and my Lord." Of course you don't have to. You can do whatever you like. You can refuse God's salvation. And you can live whatever way you like until you die. But the moment you die, the choice is gone. But you're already cast into the lake of fire. And there's no choice to get out of it. And if you do not say in this life, "I will go with this man Christ," then you can live whatever way you like. But when you die, you have no choice because God has already made that choice. And you're absent from the body and in a lost sinner's hell. But then we have not only Abraham's concern, the servant's consecration, Rebecca's consent, but we have got Isaac's comfort in verse 67. "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Isaac was 40 years old when his father sought a wife for him to love and to cherish, to continue the family name, and more importantly, the nation whom God had chosen for his glory and the line through which the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. And here was a young man who was obedient to his father. He trusted his father's servant, his father's God, and he was obeying the command of God, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." He loved his father's God. In verse 63, we read that Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventime. He was out there meditating and seeking God. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Perhaps he was praying for the servant as he sought him a wife. But suddenly the camels were coming. Why, his heart must have leaped in anticipation and even fear. Here was God's choice for his wife. What would she be like? But here was God's choice, and what a joy she brought to Isaac. You see, she was good looking and was love at first sight. You see, at verse 16 says, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. God not only gave him a good wife, but he gave him a good looking wife. Of course, beauty is only skin deep. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. How blessed are those who put God first in their life. She provided comfort for Isaac as he missed his mother. And a good husband will love his wife as himself. It says there that he took her into the tent and he loved her. Now, if you love someone, you'll want to do the best for them. No good in telling somebody you love them and treating them like a slave and a servant. But here was a beautiful picture. And here we have this godly family set up. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let us learn today from this godly family that to put God first is always best. And it brings the blessing of God and the Lord upon the household. Abraham's concern. Have we concern for our children and loved ones that they will do the will of God? The servants dedicated to his master here. Are we dedicated to our master, the Lord Jesus Christ? We have Rebecca's concern. Are we willing to do the will of God? Are you willing to do the will of God, irrespective of what anybody else does? Whatever God says to you, are you willing to do it and go God's way? Oh, yes, Rebecca said, I will go. And then Isaac's comfort. You see, God's will is always best. And God's will thrills our hearts. And we wouldn't have half the marriage breakups today if young people had have sought God's will for their partner in life. That's what's the problem in the world today. People marry for lust. They don't marry for love in a lot of cases. And then when the problems come, you see, there's two people in a marriage and they come together. And they're like two cog wheels and they're not always in sync. And they have to learn to be in sync together. And it's only with the blessing of God upon them that they can work out and get together with the blessing of God. Let us all covenant today to go through with God. To lay our all on the altar for God and to do God's will and seek God's will in every aspect of our lives. And unsaved this morning, what is more important than you responding to the God who loves sinners and calls you from your sin? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I trust this morning that God has spoken to your heart. I've said things perhaps that maybe you don't normally hear, but I believe the Lord had it for us today. And we need in these days to see what God's word says, not what man's word or the television says or books say, but what does this book say? God's book. Oh, let us at this time, each one, seek God's will for our lives. Go through with God thine. But you're all on the altar for God. And God will bless you in the days ahead. Let's bow together in prayer, please.